Good evening. Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church on this evening of Good Friday. Tonight, we will journey through the week that changed the world. The most significant 8 days in human history. We often call it Holy Week or Passion Week. But can you imagine for the disciples who lived through that week? It was the greatest of joys and the worst of horrors. A week where the architecture of the world was dismantled and rebuilt from the ground up. Think about the emotions of these 8 days from Sunday to Sunday. It began on the first Sunday with shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. He was fulfilling ancient prophecies and igniting the hopes of a people who had waited for their king. By midweek, the air grew heavy with tension. Jesus wasn't the kind of king they were expected. He wasn't overturning Roman thrones. He was overturning tables in the temple and the hearts of those religious leaders. On Wednesday, he was anointed with an extravagant gift of love. By Thursday, the scene shifted from the streets to the quiet upper room. A king put on a towel to wash the dirty feet. And a Passover meal became a new covenant of bread and wine. By Friday, the Hosannas had turned to crucify him. Between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., the creator of the universe allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, paying the debt he did not owe for a people who could not pay. By Saturday, there was only silence. The hope of Israel was behind a sealed stone, and all of creation held its breath. But we know that the story doesn't end in silence. Today, we aren't just looking at history. We are walking a path. We are looking at the road to the cross. 5 specific movements where Jesus shows us what it looks like to live, to serve, to die, and to ultimately hope. As we move through these 5 reflections tonight, I want you to ask yourself, where do I find myself in this story? And what is Jesus asking me to surrender as we walk toward the empty tomb? Let's pray. Father, we come with heavy hearts, thinking about the weight of this day. The fact that you, in your perfect, divine, created plan, chose to send your Son to be the sacrificial lamb for us, the one who would take away the sins of the world. And Lord, we are so grateful. Thank you for Friday. Thank you for enduring the trials and the accusations and the beatings the night before. Thank you that even in your death, you were showing us love and forgiveness. You were showing us grace and mercy. So, Lord, as we come into your presence again to worship, to honor, and to remember you, we thank you for all that you've done. Holy Spirit, move among us. Challenge, comfort, and move our hearts as we remember this road to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Reflection 1, the authority of the king, Monday. Jesus enters the temple and drives out the money changers from Matthew 21, verse 12 until 17. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.' The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David.' But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' 'Yes,' Jesus replied. 'Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise.' Then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight."
The significance of this event. Before Jesus could offer himself as a sacrifice, he chose to purify the place of sacrifice. He was reclaiming the house of prayer from those who had turned it into a transaction. He proved that he was not just a guest in the temple, he was the Lord of it. Think about the hundreds of years that the people went to worship in that temple before Jesus was born. He was the one who received their worship as a part of the Trinity. And yet, in this scene, he found that he wasn't really welcome in his own house. The application. Sometimes we treat our relationship with God as a transaction. If I do A, he will give me B. This week, ask Jesus to overturn the tables of your heart. What clutter or religious business is preventing you from being a true person of prayer? And an action. Identify one transactional habit in your faith and replace it sometime this weekend with 5 minutes of silent, agenda-free worship. Let's join the choir in standing and singing "What Wondrous Love This Is." Please stand.
Reflection 2, the fragrance of devotion, Wednesday. The act. Mary anoints Jesus with expensive perfume at Bethany, from Mark 14, verses 1 through 9. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed."
The significance of this act. In a week defined by conflict, this was a moment of pure beauty. Mary recognized what the disciples had missed. Jesus was about to die. Her wasteful act of love was actually the only appropriate response to the infinite God come in the person of Christ. She prepared his body for burial while others were plotting his death. The application. The world, and sometimes the church, calls radical devotion wasteful. We sometimes calculate our time or our giving with cold confidence or indifference. But the gospel invites us to waste ourselves on Jesus. So in action, do something extravagant for God this week. Something that no one sees. A secret act of generosity or a sacrifice of time that makes no sense to the world.
Thank you.
God so loved the world. Beautiful words. Reflection 3. The basin and the bread. Thursday. The act is Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and shares the Last Supper. Readings from John and Luke. This is John 13, 1 and following. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had washed around himself. And from verse 12. After washing their feet, he put his robe on again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." The significance of this act. This is the great exchange. The king becomes a servant. The bread of life becomes the broken loaf. Jesus showed that leadership in his kingdom is found at the floor, scrubbing the dirt off the feet of his betrayer. He turns a meal of rescue, the Passover, into a meal of remembrance, communion. So the application. We cannot truly follow Jesus if we are unwilling to stoop. If the creator of the universe washed feet, there is no task too small for you and me. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. I'd like to invite the servers to come forward. And as they're coming, I'm going to be reading from Luke 22, verse 14. It reads, "When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, 'I have been very eager to eat the Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' So he took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" As the servers are serving, the choir is going to come back up and lead us in "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." I invite you to sing, or I invite you to sit in silent prayer, asking Jesus to speak to you. As we take the bread, we not only remember his sacrifice, but we openly declare our service to the King. Take and remember.
Reflection 4, the price of pardon, Good Friday. The act, the trial, crucifixion, and burial, from John chapter 19, verse 16 to 30. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, change it from the King of the Jews to, he said, I'm the King of the Jews. Pilate replied, no, what I've written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they said. Standing at the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to his disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I'm thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it in the hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
The significance of this event. After enduring mockery, scorn, and shame before the spiritual leaders of God's chosen people, Jesus stood condemned of blasphemy. Questioned, taunted, belittled, and beaten before Pilate and Herod, the authorities of Rome and Israel, the true king was crowned with thorns. At 9 a.m., body broken and bleeding, the bread of life was cruelly nailed to a cross. For 6 hours, he endured the pain, scorn, and taunting of the people he came to save. While all their hate, deceit, wickedness, sin, and shame of the world, yours and mine, was poured out on the Word made flesh, his words were of forgiveness and mercy, grace. At 3 p.m., the light of the world went dark. This is the moment where the architecture of salvation was finalized. Before his death, Jesus declared, "It is finished." He had completed the task for which his Father had called him. So let's remember that blood and that sacrifice that washes us as white as snow. I'll invite our servers back up. Coming. I'll read from Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." And then after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Again, the praise team will lead us in singing, "Thank you, Jesus, for the blood." As the wine is being served, you may sit quietly and meditate or pray or sing along with them.
It has grown.
Thank you, Jesus. As we take this cup, we remember the blood poured out for our cleansing of sin. Reading from Matthew 22:57. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The application. We often try to fix ourselves or pay off our own spiritual debts. Good Friday reminds us that the price was so high, only God could pay it. And the love so deep that he actually did. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you trust in his finished work on the cross to wash away your sins and make you whiter than snow? If you haven't, today is the day for you to pray and ask Jesus for his gift of mercy and grace. An action. I'd like to ask you to spend some time tonight or tomorrow in total silence, meditating on the phrase, "It is finished." Identify one burden of guilt you are still carrying and nail it to the cross, trusting that Jesus has already paid the price. It's Friday, Good Friday. It's good because of what Jesus did for us. And tomorrow, reflection 5, the silence of Saturday, the Sabbath, the act, Jesus in the tomb, from Matthew 27:62-66. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. 'After 3 days, I will rise from the dead.' And so we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If this happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." The significance of this. We often skip from the pain of Friday to the celebration of Sunday. But we live much of our lives on Saturday. Saturday is a day of waiting, of unanswered prayers, and of seeming defeat. Yet even in the silence, God is working. The tomb wasn't a dead end. It was a cocoon. The application. Faith is not just trusting God when the stone is rolled away. It's trusting him while the stone still covers the grave. So again, the action, I'm asking you to sit in silence for 10 minutes tomorrow. Don't ask for anything. Simply practice trusting that God is working in the grave of your life, even when you can't see the movement. Holy Week is not a play we watch. It's a path that we walk. We remember the king's authority so that we can submit. We remember the perfume so that we can adore. We remember the towel so that we can serve. We remember the bread and the wine. His body broken for our healing. We remember the cross so we can rest. And we remember the tomb so we can hope. Praise team's going to lead us in "Worthy is the Lamb." And then after that, we will have our benediction. But we will have a song after the benediction.
Father and our God, we give you praise, glory, and adoration. We thank you, God, because you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords. You are the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of forever. Lord, we thank you especially this day because you are worthy, Lord, the Lamb that was slain. Father God, we celebrate this day that occurred more than 2,000 years ago when you fulfilled your promises, Father God, to deliver us. You fulfilled what you started when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. When we are separated from you, Lord, you knew that by ourselves we cannot return to you. So you planned, Lord, to send us your son. And today we celebrate his death. Because in his death, O Lord, we have salvation. We thank you, Father God, for that salvation that you brought to us. The salvation that you gave us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Because even though you were king, you didn't see your kingship that much for you to stay in heaven. But you came down, Lord, so that you can cause us to be able to be as white as snow when we believe in you. We thank you, Father God, in heaven. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, Father God, because we know that you didn't stay on the cross. Neither did you stay in the grave. We praise you and we exalt you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.